Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem of Judea, during the reign of King Herod, astrologers from the east arrived one day in Jerusalem, inquiring, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." At this news, King Herod became greatly disturbed, and with him all Jerusalem. Summoning all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they informed him. "Here is what the prophet has written. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the princes of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Herod called the astrologers aside and found out from them the exact time of the star's appearance. Then he sent them to Bethlehem. After having instructed them, "Go and get detailed information about the child. When you have discovered something, report your findings to me so that I may go and offer him homage too." After their audience with the king, they set out. The star, which they had observed at its rising, went ahead of them until it came to a standstill over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, found the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their coffers and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They received a message in a dream not to return to Herod, so they went back to their own country by another route. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Church still looks beautiful, I think, in its Christmas finery. But if you get up close, you'll see that tree is drooping, seriously, in danger of dropping some of its ornaments to the floor. And if you were here early this morning with me, you could have helped pick up the latest leaves of the poinsettias as they begin to breathe their last. In fact, some of you may have arrived this morning, opened the door of the church, and said, "Did the janitor quit? Or what's going on here? He's still got the Christmas decorations up." But we would surely hope that each and all of you would have another thought in the very next moment and say, "Well, of course, Christmas is not complete until Epiphany. We cannot experience, get hold of, then share and celebrate the message of Christmas until we have welcomed the Magi. Till we have, in other words, welcomed those foreigners, those aliens." From the simple word in Latin, which just means other, not us. Christmas is not complete until this feast is observed and its message is embraced by all God's people. That this good news is by its very nature not fulfilled until it's been told to every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. That the church is not truly the Catholic or universal church until the riches and the giftedness of every tribe and nation has been brought into its loving embrace. Isaiah, in his prophecy from a way back of old, in the first reading, proclaims this. that all the nations will be included. And then he says, you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. When this good news is shared with all. In the psalm which follows, it says all nations shall pay him homage, Jesus, who is Lord. Why? For his own sake? That we may have a triumphant monarch over us? Because people like royalty? Because he is so good? The reason, rather, as the psalmist tells us, why he will be king and all nations will praise him is because he will rescue the poor when the poor cry out, and the afflicted who heretofore had no one to help. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save, and therefore the riches of the nations will be laid before him. This is not some wild idea that I received in a dream. This is at the heart of the good news. In the words of Paul, which you heard proclaimed just minutes ago, God's secret plan is no less than this. In Christ Jesus, the Gentiles, the nations, are now co-heirs with the Jews, members of the same body, and sharers of the promise through the preaching of the gospel. Christmas is not really Christmas until the people who celebrate it know and try to act accordingly that it is a gift to be shared with the entire world. And as long as there is a nation or even a tribe somewhere not yet included, then the church has not yet fulfilled its destiny. We will experience the riches of God's plan when and only when we have fully shared ourselves with all of God's people. If you take me seriously, if you try to be part of that, reaching to the ends of the earth, when God knows, and every one of us do, that it's hard enough to be a nice guy just at home, it's difficult enough to behave yourself in school. It's like a monumental challenge to get through an entire day without being mean or narrow or nasty to somebody. If you were to accept this call to reach to the very ends of the earth that Christmas might be complete, you too will droop like our tree. And you'll probably lose some leaves like our poinsettias. You'll pay a price, but only then will you reap the riches that God has promised. Only then will we be enriched as he intended and planned. Just yesterday, they tell us in the news, it boggles the mind to hear it, that once again in South Africa, the white people with power are going around, how dare they, posting signs saying whites only, blacks excluded. How could they not know that especially in this time, in this age of God's great providential salvation history, that things like that are sins crying to heaven for vengeance? But, you might say, with a selfish note to it, what poor fools they are for every one of those signs and every act that is in harmony with it. is an act of self-deprivation of the riches of the glory of our God. The white people in power in South Africa are impoverishing themselves because in God's plan, until the black people of South Africa are given a full share in the riches of God, in the riches of His creation, the people who hold it tight and selfishly cannot possibly enjoy it as it was meant to be enjoyed. They had the wisdom and the skill to mine the earth and bring forth gold. They have the stupidity to pass over and even turn their backs on the gold and other riches that are in the hearts and the culture, the traditions, the experiences, and the unique personalities of those beautiful people of South Africa whom they oppress. The same is true in Haiti. The same is true in country after country. And surely by now we're tired of trying to comprehend the controversy between the Israelis and the Palestinians. We are overwhelmed by this tremendous conflict and confrontation between Iraq and Iran. These things wear us down and make us droop. But today's feast, today's celebration of Christmas says, unless somehow in your heart, and in the measure that your own giftedness allows you, in your deeds, you are part of breaking through these barriers to share this good news with all the beautiful people of God, then you yourself are less beautiful. You yourself are being deprived of riches that God had in store for you, and for me, and for us all. In today's bulletin, practical thing again, a suggested letter to our new president and our new Congress in what we hope will be a fresh new time for taking Christmas and Christ seriously. An invitation that you address the government on behalf of our sisters and brothers in El Salvador who are victims, literally victims, of our priorities as their priorities are being ignored and trampled underfoot. And you should respond in this way or in other ways. Somehow you should be responding because they are God's people and they have a full title to dignity and a full share in God's riches. But you also, in an act of sacred selfishness, should be determined that the people of El Salvador and Haiti and Nicaragua, the people of Afghanistan and South Africa, the people of Cambodia and Vietnam, all the peoples and all the tribes have true freedom, because as long as they are not free to celebrate their dignity, you are being deprived of riches which they hold in their hearts, their hands, and their traditions. It would be great if we could commit ourselves on this great feast of Epiphany to actions appropriate to our gifts and our roles in the society, to commit ourselves to good deeds that will lead to the further and fuller sharing of the good news with all the tribes and nations, because they deserve it. Because they are, as Paul says in that epistle, equally co-sharers and heirs in the riches of our God through Jesus. But we ought also to do it because we are not yet fully ourselves until we embrace and share with them. One of our big problems, practically speaking, is that even when we do good deeds, even when we take action for the sake of justice and human rights, all too often we think we're being kind and charitable, like a benevolent king reaching down with some favor upon his or her subjects. And the truth is, all we're doing is justice. We tend to think, for example, that as a nation, we finally got around to giving freedom to to those who were theretofore slaves, and now they're better off. And today we cannot escape it if we pay any attention to what's going on around us. We discover that the black people in this country have riches and blessings and gifts that they would have been sharing from the beginning had they been invited. So not only were they being oppressed and unjustly treated, but all the oppressors were cheating themselves because they were deprived of these gifts and glories that God meant us to share. And that is a model for it all. In all of these discrete tribes and nations, some of the riches of the Lord are specially entrusted, and they cannot be brought to the fullness of the glory and joy and celebration of the whole church until the church reaches out to receive them, whether for the sake of those until now deprived or for the sake of themselves, that they may be full and complete. Accept the challenge, if you will, and know, once again, you will droop and sometimes fade. It will hurt, it will cost. But the promise of the Lord, if God's people take him seriously, will be fulfilled. I repeat the words of the prophet. If you become part of this universal Catholic reach of the church to share with all in dignity and peace, then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth, the true, true, priceless wealth of the nations shall be brought to you. Thank you.